Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me, she's back! It's Vicky Barcelona!
Yay, hi!
We've got the show's namesake! It's BJ Shea!
I should be gone.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
It's a full house because Joey D's is running the board.
Woo! Hey, we made it.
On today's show, we will talk a little bit about some shows that have some newsworthy things. I'll talk with Gareth von Kallenbach about what Netflix is trying to do versus other streaming. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's got our blog, podcasts, and more. Or just BJ Geek Nation if you Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and you can also listen to us on radio.com and iTunes.
Yes, and if you are with Apple Podcasts, make sure and leave us a review. Hit that 5-star and then write down something in that review. Tell us why you love this show, because A, we love to see those things, and also B, maybe we'll read it on the old podcast.
Yeah, this is something that we're going to ask a lot of. We don't ask a lot of any of you, because we just give you this podcast for free. But here's what we're noticing, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that I don't always say good things about things I love. I tend to say bad things about things I don't love,
especially in the nerd community. That's a big thing.
And here's the thing: our podcast, there's a couple of reviews on there that I want to get off there, and the only way you can do it is by getting good reviews on there, because these reviews really aren't very fair. It's like two people got mad at a couple of podcasts they listened to that featured somebody who's not even on our podcast anymore, and it's not reflective of what we do at all, because you listen to us, we never talk politics, we don't care. But there was a dude that every once in a while, for some reason, he just said, you know what, forget the geeky stuff, I'll talk politics. And so those people tuned in, heard that one guy who's not even, hasn't been with us for almost a year now, and that's all they said about our of all the podcasts we do, it's like, really, you're going to judge us on the one thing that you, and so
yeah, it's the squeaky wheel gets,
and we
the
can't get
sort of
rid
thing.
Of the review. So if somebody goes and checks us out to say, hey, I heard about BJ Shea's Geek Nation, it really is a disservice to the guys who do the Board Game Alliance. It's a disservice to what we do every day, and we can't get rid of it. So the only thing we do is bury it, because it is so not indicative. You've listened to us. You know we don't care about politics. We just care about geeky stuff.
Yeah. We're gonna kill these comments with kindness, people.
Yeah. So
that's a good way to put that.
Yeah. I'm going to be begging, and I'm going to be asking for a while, because it's the only process. Go to Apple and go to, the Apple iTunes and do it that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's just Apple Podcasts now.
Yeah, Apple
it's
Podcasts.
It's super easy
you.
To find. It's on every one of your Apple devices.
Yeah, and so please do that. That would be so helpful to us, because it sucks when people leave a review and it's not indicative of the full experience. And you go, you know what? You should listen to more than just one podcast and judge us. It's like, I wasn't even on the podcast they listened to, so it's not even the one I ever do.
Yeah.
And it really irritates me. It's like, we do three a week, plus the Board Game Alliance is 4 a week.
Yep.
And you listen to one that was done about a year ago, and that's what you're going to judge us on? That kind of sucks.
So it does.
Help us out, people.
Yep, exactly on that. And just a 5-star, leave some reviews. Tell us what you love about it, and maybe we will read it.
If you're clever.
Yeah, if you're clever, if you're fun with it.
I'll read it. I think that would be fun if somebody would say, let's see if I can do one that gets read, because we'll reward you and make you a star of this fine podcast.
Make you a star.
Yeah, because that would be awesome. Thank you. That's a big favor you could do for us.
Let's talk a little news items with some television shows. This was an interesting one. Well, you know what? I'm not too surprised. I did manage to watch the first episode of this. I know BJ is a little bit farther ahead of me. And of course, Vicky has already finished the series.
Oh, of course she has.
Yeah,
Rotten Rotten Tomatoes has certified The Boys fresh at a steady 77% as of this recording.
8.9 on IMDb.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, It's a great, great show. I'm only two episodes in. I'm savoring it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to binge it because I don't want it to be over.
It's one of those, like, after every episode, it's like, crap. Like, I was like, I want to take my time, too. I was like, I don't need to binge it. I'm going to take my time. But I sat there yesterday because I finished it yesterday. I was like, but I really want to know what happens after this. What's yeah. going to happen? And it was bugging me all day. I was like, but I mean, it's not that big a deal. I finally turned it on. I'm like, I'm going to watch it.
We watched the first episode, the wife and I, and I wasn't too sure how she'd feel about it. Because if you don't know, they're touting the boys as the thing that you want to watch if you have superhero fatigue. If you're tired of the superheroes being the goody two shoes, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like it's the Superman fatigue. Like the goody two shoes vibe.
The Boy Scout sort of thing along those lines. This upends it in the most R-rated, hilarious ways, but I wasn't too sure how the wife was going to feel about it. So we're like, well, we'll just watch the first episode, see how she feels. We watched it a little bit later, so I wanted to go into the next episode right away. It was too late, unfortunately, past the bedtime sort of thing. And yeah, she loved it as well. So it's not going to be one of those ones where I can just binge by myself. It's going to be a good family viewing show.
It's a quick watch because it's only 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Which is perfect.
That's why I'm savoring it, man.
Yeah. It's almost the perfect balance between what the big shows were doing, like the big network shows that have like 22 episodes or 24 episodes, versus like what they do in like with the BBC in Britain and stuff like that, where they're usually like 6 episodes and they're done. Like, it's a good balance between those.
And I think you guys were saying a week ago or something when I wasn't here that it has been renewed for season 2.
Yeah.
Yes,
awesome.
It has.
Which I'm excited for.
Yeah, this could be the best Prime show, in my opinion, out there. I've heard some people, I mean, look, I know Prime's got some really good shows on there, but some people are calling it like it's a Game of Thrones for superheroes. It has that, it can
having
be that
only
vibe-y.
Watched the first episode, I don't know.
Yeah,
I love faster it. Faster than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was a much more extensive universe. And actually, in the comics, the boys' universe, there was a lot, they make references in the show of the different, you know, groups. And we do meet some characters, but I feel like in the comic books, we got to hear and see more of the different.
I think they'll drop them in.
D and B. I think so too. But I like the universe is extensive, but not right off the get go.
Yeah, which makes sense.
I mean, in episode 2, I still haven't met the full cast of the boys. And in episode 1, I only met one character of the boys.
Exactly.
I guess two really when you think about it, only because, you know, the comic book. Yeah,
Huey and Butcher.
Yeah, but that is so there are still more people that I haven't met. 2 episodes in, I feel like they're going to drop because there's so much going on in the graphic novel that it could really be that extensive.
And they did change up the way they do a few things, and it's one of those like I don't want to say because I don't
spoil it.
Anything.
Don't do it, Vicky.
But I'm curious to see what you guys think because you read the book a long time ago, so you kind of forgot a lot of the
main
things.
That's the thing. It's like if they change anything up, my brain will be like, I don't know if this is exactly how it happened, but okay, I like it.
I'm kind of cool with it.
I'm kind of like that too, but there's some bigger things where like, oh, okay, well, they're not doing it that way. Okay, that makes sense.
You'll have to tell me in case I forget.
Yeah, so once you guys finish it, I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
I will tell you that Anthony Starr, who plays Homelander, is fantastic. He's basically the Superman guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is so good. Oh, he's so good.
If you love Dread or maybe Star Trek, Carl Urban is fantastic in this. I didn't realize because I was like, that's an interesting accent. He's a New Zealander.
Yeah,
he's,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even
yeah.
realize that. I thought he was an American dude. And so I was like, where is he going with accents? I'm not quite sure what's going on with this.
Australia, New Zealand, and England, they seem to always be our American characters, damn it. But this time, Carl Urban's actually playing a guy who's not supposed to be an American.
But you mentioned the people playing an American. And we've got Simon Pegg in this as Huey's father.
So weird to hear him with an American accent.
It's strange.
I'm glad he's doing the American accent because I feel like if he was doing his British accent, he always sounds much younger to me with his accent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I've seen him in so many different roles and not being fatherly.
Yeah.
So if he was British Simon Pegg, it'd be, oh, you're too young to have a son that old. And this actually sounds like it balances out in my head.
And for folks that don't know, the irony of this, and it's a fun story, Derek Robertson, and you'll see his name in the credits because he was the one that drew the boys. Derek Robertson was looking for somebody to base Wee Huey on. And so he was like, you know what? He watched a couple of things and he said, oh, here's this guy. Nobody's probably going to know him, so I'm going to base Wee Huey off him. He had no idea that Simon Pegg was about to blow up as a really iconic character and also a big geek guy. And so all of a sudden, Simon is reading this book, and it is him.
Yes.
Simon's realizing, this guy looks just like me, and eventually he contacted the book and said, hey, look, I just want you to know my name is Simon Pegg. I love it, and it's amazing how much the guy looks. And then Derek Robertson had to basically cop to the idea, Simon, I did base him on you, but I didn't realize you'd blow up as big as you are. And Simon goes, no, this is a huge compliment because I love the boys. Like, thank you.
Yeah, and when I read the comic, the one I read had the foreword in it by Simon Pegg.
Yeah, it was so, was that?
And it was literally because they watched Spaced.
Yes.
And it was like, and if you've never watched Spaced, it was the first project that had Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, mm-hmm. and Edgar Wright as a team together. And it,
so good.
And it holds up.
Yeah, watch it.
Especially if you're not a fan of the prequels to Star Wars.
It's a great, you know what Spaced reminds me of the new Crashing, and if you haven't seen.
Oh, man, that's a great show, too.
Yeah, it's very updated, I think. It's what Crashing is today, I would say back in the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
2000s. They're both really amazing. And of course, they're British. Of course, they're both amazing shows.
And so, yes, The Boys is certified fresh. People mm-hmm. are loving it. Like we said, they're getting a second season.
Oh, I didn't realize that Homelander, the actor Anthony Starr, he's from New Zealand.
So they're all.
Everybody's from New Zealand.
Going international.
I'm blown away by him. Sorry.
Big love to Elizabeth Shue, who we've known for years. She was in that movie with Nicolas Cage, something about, is it Vegas, something going crazy in Vegas?
Or Leaving Las Vegas?
Maybe it was Leaving Las Vegas,
yes. Leaving Las Vegas.
I love Elizabeth Shue. I still can't believe that she's in her 50s. She is forever youthful in my brain.
Was in Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, yes.
She's tremendous as basically the person in charge of Vought Corporation. I love her a lot. She's just so badass in that.
That's amazing. I love this. And I mean, seriously, it's a fun show, but it's also a hard R show.
Yeah, it is.
You see everything.
It was awkward because, like, I was watching an episode and there's nothing dirty going on, maybe some fighting or whatever. And the second my brother walks in through the door, because he's now living with me.
Yeah.
That's a sex scene. I'm like,
whoops. I was going to be like, man meat?
And he comes in and he's just like, what are you watching? I'm like, I swear to God, it's
man
not what you
meat.
Think.
I'm watching man meat.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
But definitely recommended from all of us in here.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on from that, another news story. Vicky, I know you've been keeping up with Archer, and for the last three seasons, it's been Archer in a coma.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they've been kind of genre bending the entire thing.
Which
I
love. I know a lot of Archer fans aren't happy with it. I actually love it, because where are you going to go after 7 or 8 years with that show anyway?
Well, this was actually the 10th season.
Which is supposed to be their last season, right?
But here's the thing. They're going
seasons?
To do one more season at least. It was announced at San Diego Comic-Con, and Archer is coming out of his coma.
Well, that's cool. Oh,
yeah. Really? So it's going to be coming back to that, and I did read an article that stated that it's going to be him dealing with coming back to a bunch of people and like all of the team who have moved on, because he's been in a coma for so long.
Wow.
Oh, so it'll be years.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long, but it'll be long enough for everyone to move on. And then basically everyone saying, well, we don't really need you anymore.
Whoops.
And you're going to be more in the way than you're not. You're going to be still Archer because you haven't moved on. You've been stuck. It's like being stuck in the snap.
And if you actually watch the show and you realize everything that happened, everything is his fault. It's like everything would have gone smoothly had he not been a selfish bad word. Really.
But then
and
that's
why you like Archer, because it's supposed to be shenanigans.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed and of course I love that they're in space. There was a show called Life on Mars, and and he was basically Flash. It was a show what you thought was a detective show from the 70s, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, it also was a British show that actually featured John Sim, who was a great master to David Tennant's Doctor. And basically in the American version that I saw, it turns out that he was on a spaceship the whole time, and he was just dreaming suspended animation.
Yeah.
He was never in the 70s.
That's right.
And so I almost feel like there's a little bit of an homage with this season in Archer 1999. Also, Space 1999 is a great sci-fi show, so I'm sure it's not by accident that they use 1999 as a sort of, because you would have to ask yourself, why would they say Archer 1999? What the hell is that about?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it's a nice homage to that old Space 1999 TV show.
And Archer Season 10 will be available on Hulu, and FX has renewed the season for at least a Season 11, which will bring it back. Beyond that, we'll see if they've jumped the shark or whatever the hell that Archer jumps in that show now.
Hey, look, people still watch The Simpsons and Family Guy, even though a lot of people don't.
I fall asleep to Archer. Right, I go through phases. Right now, it's Archer for the last like month and a half. Every time I go to sleep, Archer's on.
So I look at it like, look,
that's my show.
You don't have to watch a show if you don't like it anymore, but if there's enough people that do, why wouldn't they continue to make it? It's animated, which means those voice actors can do it forever, as The Simpsons have proven.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why people hate on stuff when it's just like, but other people like it. Even if you don't like it anymore, that's great. Guess what? There's other shows for you to watch.
Exactly, and that's one of those things. I mean, Joe, you've said it multiple times. If you don't like it, you can move on. There's plenty of other things.
That's right. You don't got to finish things anymore, people.
Speaking of which, Joe.
Yes?
I found a news story about the fact that there may be a Krypton spinoff featuring Lobo.
Oh, boy.
We're just talking about not crapping on things, but how you feel about Krypton so far?
So this will be a short review.
I was the one that turned you both onto this show.
Yes.
And
because of how great season one was.
I know. And that's, I find myself, maybe if I binge watch a couple of episodes, but I don't even know how many episodes behind I am now. It's on my DVR.
You know, there are three storylines. Two of them are pretty mediocre, but the one that's good is worth watching.
Okay.
So that's good enough for me at that point.
Okay, so it still grabbed you enough
to keep watching. Is it the Brainiac?
It's the Brainiac.
It's the Brainiac. Sure. Yeah. I'm with you. It's the only one that's worthwhile because the Brainiac actor is a great actor.
He's
a great actor.
He has the best writing.
Yeah, it's true. And even the guy that plays Segel, who is Superman's granddad, he's okay.
He was so much better in season one, but they wrote his character into the ground.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
And Sally Zod, whatever her name is, the one that's Zod's mom, she was so much better in season one as well.
Yeah, And you kind of see what they're trying to do with the storyline, which is why the Brainiac one is the only one that really matters, is because he is the big bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, Zod was really good as a cool, like, season ender for season one, but then season two, he's just like some dictator, and you're like, all right, whatever.
All right, great,
But man, Brainiac's character though, he makes everything work, flow, make sense. All the characters, but the characters are dumb. The other character, like Adam Strange, is just the biggest moron in the universe.
Yeah, Adam Strange is. That's why I have a problem with Lobo a little bit, because Lobo is supposed to be comedic in his own way.
Yeah.
But Adam Strange is already offering that stupid comedy, and I think it makes me not want Lobo because I've already got an idiot. I don't need another idiot.
It dilutes it a lot.
I think Lobo would be better if Adam Strange was not in the picture, which
is interesting.
Yeah, that's why it's just like, and there's too much good writing out there. That's the problem. You know, if it was the only show, I'd have to deal with it. If this was back when it was just Xena and Hercules,
and that's all you got.
But there's so much out there that you can't have mediocre writing anymore.
Moving on from that, we've got Gareth Von Kallenbach with us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And now we need to talk a little bit about Netflix. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And we were talking a little bit about Netflix. And an interesting thing at this point in time right now is they're kind of hitting some video game franchises.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is, as we've discussed many times in the past, is all of the new streaming services. And there's the whole point is you're going to be holding on to your own content or developing your own content rather than sharing with the competition. So one of the things we're hearing is that it's no secret Netflix has been investing heavily, borrowing money to invest in movies, TV shows, original content like that. And one of the things we've been following is that they're very heavily getting into content which is based on video games.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know about The Witcher, know about the Castlevania animated series.
Yeah.
they've announced the Division, which was originally going to be, a theatrical release. So we don't know. All we heard was a Division movie. So we don't know how far it got down the road to a theatrical release before Netflix got involved. I mean, it was always Jake Gyllenhaal's doing a film of the Division, blah, blah, blah. This could have been something early on. So that's coming. And now we're hearing animated versions of Cuphead, Devil May Cry, and possibly Diablo maybe in the works.
Wow. So they're going full in. Yeah, we talked about Henry Cavill as Geralt from Witcher. The Castlevania, the animated series with that was, I liked it. It was pretty short. It was essentially four episodes that made into a movie. The Division, I really liked the first game, and I haven't played the second one, but I like that theme in the terms of like a giant post-apocalyptic sort of situation that wrecks large cities, and they can talk about maybe city to city and going on with that. Do we have any more details on it, or is it just the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal might be involved in it?
Well, I think what they're planning on is that we are hearing it is Jake Gyllenhaal involved in it. What we are hearing is that they are going to essentially try to follow the storyline of the first game in that it is the dollar flu that is released over Black Friday. Wipes out New York City, goes from there. I don't think they're going into the Division 2 or anything like that, where it's in D.C. I think this is all going to be set in and around New York. They are going to keep the premise of that it's a special branch of the government that is brought in when all the lawlessness has taken over the city, so many people affected by the plague, and he's basically, heading up the new agent in town, just like the game, the new agent that comes in to try to help reestablish things.
That'll be pretty fun, and I love the fact that they're going animated with a couple of them. Have you heard if the Diablo one would be animated or if it would be live action?
Animated is what we're hearing. Now, that one is still a rumor at this point. That might be something that Blizzard pops out at BlizzCon to try to make up for last year. I hate to kick them like that, but you got to call it as you see it. So that might be the old, hey, we got a new mobile game. Quiet, silence, crickets. Oh, and there's the Diablo. Yay!
Yeah.
TV series.
And it's like, don't you guys all have cell phones? Why don't you have an issue with that? Maybe don't bring that up.
that was still, there should be t-shirts made. I bet someone's going to be wearing one of those around this year.
Now, thinking about this, and just along the lines of like video games that might potentially be fun in terms of like TV shows, and maybe Netflix can kind of go mining with this, I was thinking about Far Cry being kind of a worthwhile series to kind of explore.
Yeah, Far Cry would be a really interesting one. The trick with that is I am not sure what the legal rights on Far Cry are. I'm going to embarrass myself with this, but I do have my blink and you'll miss me part as a mercenary in the Far Cry film that was done by Uwe Boll.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he told me something really interesting. They were telling me that one of the big problems is, and it's not just his movies, if you look at a lot of the others like Doom and Wing Commander and all of this, they weren't that great. And they said that one of the problems is that people go to get these film rights based on video games, and then they come up with all these rules that they have to follow. So, essentially, they're told you can't make it look like the video game. You can't do things that might infringe on possible future game lines. So that's how you get a Wing Commander where the Kilrathi don't look the same, the ships don't look the same. That's how you get a Doom that doesn't have the right storyline. And then, like in the case of Far Cry, they said basically we were told right at the start, No tropical islands. So they were set in islands in the Northwest. That was okay.
Sure, why not?
You couldn't have the mutants look the same as in the game. They couldn't have the same name. So basically, they were allowed to have the hero's name, one other character's name, and the title Far Cry. That's it. That's all they had. And it's kind of like, well, we can sell it. and it did. It did exceptionally well overseas, but that's where it is. Now, I would think that it's probably sitting in the hands of Ubisoft, and they probably could be sitting there because, they've got the franchises. They've got the Division. They've got They've got Assassin's Creed. They've got Far Cry. They've got Ghost Recon. You know, the stuff's sitting there. So I think it's, it's the case of that they're, like a lot of game companies we're hearing, they're getting more involved with any potential cinematic version, shall we say, not just a big screen. There's streaming now. I think the fact is streaming's become much more acceptable. It's still the history of a cinematic released video game movie is pretty iffy outside of the, let's be honest, outside of the Resident Evil films. Most of them have not been boxed off as gold. And
It's
a lot easier now to say, hey, how about we stream an animated one? How about we stream a series?
Yeah.
People aren't as demanding about it, and it gives them more flexibility to stretch out the story. They have more control, and I think the streaming companies are a lot more flexible than, say, one of the major film studios saying, oh, you want to put some nudity and violence in it? No problem.
Sure,
they're not sitting here going, oh, if you make it R, we can't have the teenagers in it and stuff like that.
And, I mean, it makes a good sense, too, because you did bring up Assassin's Creed, and on the big screen, that one did a big old floppo. And so it tends to reason, hey, man, maybe we should make them like sort of like small miniseries type shows and do a little bit more. And even looking at something like The Witcher, it looks like they're going to be leaning heavily into the source material, which I think is something you absolutely need at that end. So it'll be exciting to see where we get with that. Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. Get information about TV, movie, all sorts of video games, and of course that more at SKNR.net. Thanks, dude.
Take care.
And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, are there movies coming out this week?
Yeah, but I think you might as well just go and stay in and watch The Boys.
There you go.
The Boys.
I mean, we do have Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, yeah, Calvin and Hobbes.
Well, right. I'm actually looking forward to that. How is the Tomatoes thinking about it?
As of right now, with 106 total reviews, 71%.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised.
I was expecting it to be a lot lower, so that's
I'm not surprised. I'm guessing it's going to go at least down to the 60s.
You're not surprised?
No,
I will. Like by next week, I feel like it probably will. I would not be surprised.
Have
if
you
it
seen
does.
Any of the F8? Did you see any of the Fast and Furious movies they've been in?
Yeah,
you have. You didn't like them?
No, I did, but I'm talking about review sake. Like they never review those movies good.
That's kind of a good point.
I really thought F8 and those guys actually got some. I thought for sure the last two Furious movies actually got good reviews at the box by Tomatoes, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
I didn't watch the last one. That was like with a submarine and all the ridiculousness.
The last two were just so ridiculously awesome. I know that the purists say this isn't racing anymore, which is what which was the first movies were about. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Jason Statham. I love The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. So, of course, and they really became great nemesis.
Yeah.
In the last two movies. So I figure, like, how can I not love a movie where it's just those guys?
Now, looking on Rotten Tomatoes, Fast and Furious, the first Fast and Furious, which was the 2009 one, so it was like, what, the fourth one or something, only got 29%.
See, that's not the one I'm talking
about.
And
that's the lowest one.
F7 and F8 I thought were really good.
Yeah, Fast and Furious, that one that we've just talked about, is terrible. That's the one where they kill off Michelle Rodriguez, but then she's not dead, even though they had a funeral for her.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Family Joe.
The Fate of the Furious was like the first one to bump over 60% at 67.
Okay.
And then Fast and Furious 6, which did have Dwayne Johnson, was 70%.
Yeah.
I mean, but like overall, if you're looking at it mathematically, not all of them have been great. So.
I love all the ones where The Rock has been in it, and then Statham was, I think, in the last two, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And I love them. They're
fun. I mean, you don't go into those movies expecting cinematic masterpieces. You expect explosions.
And I love Statham. Statham can do anything.
And Furious 7, the one you were talking about, is the highest ranked one, 81%.
Is that the one where Paul Walker was still in it?
Yes.
Okay,
and that was the first with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Vin Diesel and Paul Walker and Jason Statham.
And I think Paul Walker was digitally recreated
at
for the last
end.
Part of that one.
It was his brother that helped with it.
Yeah, and it was, it was good.
So, another movie coming out, and this kind of hits our, you know, criteria, but I'm only saying it because it's getting 81% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's called The Nightingale.
What's this? Is it another horror movie?
Kind of. It's more of a drama, but it's under the thriller category as well.
Those can be good.
It's set in 1825. Ooh. Claire, a young Irish convict woman, chases a British officer through the rugged Tasmanian wilderness, bent on revenge for a terrible act of violence he committed against her family. Huh. And on the way, she enlists the services of an Aboriginal tracker named Billy, who is also marked by trauma from his own violent past.
Interesting.
And so so you're bringing this up because...
It's kind of historical thriller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, drama thriller sort of thing. I can kind of see that. And I mean, between that and the Hobbs and Shaw, not a whole lot of uber geeky stuff.
Just go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. I have only heard amazing things about that movie.
It's very divisive, I've heard, because some people were like, I hate it. But also those person were like, I don't think Pulp Fiction is a great movie either. You need to know,
like, get out of here
and be fine with Quentin Tarantino movies, mm-hmm. because it's a
Tarantino flick.
I haven't disliked any Tarantino movie because I love what he does when he makes a movie.
Exactly.
I know I'm going to love this.
And we got one more.
Yep.
Them That Follow, 63%. Another thriller.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Them That Follow. Is it about zombies?
No. Oh.
It feels like it should be.
Yeah, right?
Or some sort of sci-fi weird thing.
It's actually more about God.
Oh,
and the pastor's daughter.
See, I thought I had to be logged into Twitter.
And snakes. Snakes are involved.
Snakes?
Death-dealing snakes.
Ooh, whoa. Okay. All right,
then. Is Samuel L. Jackson in this?
No. Well, until next time, guys.
Snakes in the pew.
Stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.